The Vodcast.
I'm just a simple man trying to make my way in the universe.
I can bring you in warm, or I can bring you in cold.
He's no good to me dead.
Yo, what up? It's your boy Jacepticeye. I'm out here. You listening to the Vodcast. Let's go.
It's Alejandro Sparrowfett. Bring on those milkshakes and Twi'leks.
And it's Buddha, a.k.a. Buddha Fett, a.k.a. Don't At Me.
Well, this is a change up from last week. Alejandro here, coming at you, Sparrow Fett. So I got the review sacrificing this morning. Let's see, what time is it? About 4:45 p.m.? No. Of course, there you go. It's early. 4:45 a.m., sacrificing, doing it for Star Wars, giving you the review of this week's episode of The Mandalorian, Chapter 12. So we get started. This was the episode that was directed by our boy, Carl Weathers. Big fan of Carl Weathers, obviously. We love him from the Rocky movies, obviously, and Predator, and all the other excellent parts he had as that guy. Did you know he was in a movie with John Heder called the Sasquatch Gang? It was supposed to be the same people that made Napoleon Dynamite. It's not worth a watch, but it's worth a Google at least. Check it out. It's actually kind of weird. So anyway, this episode, so we leave off with the Mandalorian, Mando. His Razor Crest is kind of looking like, and I said this earlier last episode with the boys, that his Razor Crest is kind of look like it just came out of East L.A., and somebody tried to trick it out all Mon Calamari style. So, and like I said, the interior of it looked like the Krusty Krab, a whole bunch of netting, and it looked like, I thought I saw some sort of seaweed or something in there. So somebody did a hack job there as far as putting it together. So we get a preview, obviously. Typically when we get these previews, you know, obviously deep into the beginning first episode of The Mandalorian, we get a look at our boy Mythazol or something. I don't know what the heck kind of name they brought him. So our boy Horatio Sands was in there. Obviously Cara Dune, Gina Carano, Carl Weathers' Greef Karga. So we know we're going to get some of this. And, of course, we also see some scenes from the first episode with the client and the cloner of who was whatever doctor that was that we have with the glasses. And, you know, obviously so weird to see glasses in Star Wars. That was something my wife and I were discussing. You don't really see glasses in Star Wars. So now, obviously, we got the Mando after the preview. He's flying around in this jalopy-looking version of the Razor Crest, trying to get to wherever he's going to see Ahsoka Tano. Now, my problem with this is that you get all these fans, you know, and you don't need a carrot or stick method here with, you know, the Star Wars shows or anything like that. We're going to watch it. And I know that you've got some fans out there that want to watch, you know, more Clone Wars stuff and, you know, big Ahsoka Tano fans, but come on, man, you don't have to name drop like that. So we're on our way to see or find Ahsoka Tano out in the planet that she's at. Name escapes me. And so looks like the Mando's lost light speed, and he's trying to have the child help him with some wiring there inside the Razor Crest. And obviously, little comedic action ensues. Child tries to put one wire and another wire in a different spot. Of course, he's not going to do that. So we know something funny is going to happen there. He gets the two wires put together, the blue one and the red one. And, you know, he's kind of saying, well, we're going to need some help. And he kind of pulls him out of that little cubby. And he says, maybe we can go back to Navarro. It's kind of like saying to the child, saying, hey, you want to go see Uncle Grief and Aunt Kara? It's kind of like that. The baby's cooing and everything like that. It's kind of cute. He's got family, right? So we cut, and we're on Navarro. We're assuming we're on Navarro, I guess. And there's this kind of cantina-looking thing or hideout. We got these Pando-looking guys. They're the aliens. It looks like they just pulled off a heist. Dude looks like he's hungry. He's about to eat a ferret-looking thing. So it's about, what, three, four of these guys. They're all talking about their share. Looks like they just pulled something off. And here, all of a sudden, we got, it's like, there is somebody coming. So we know either that's either going to be Grief or that's going to be Cara Dune. So we get our lovely Cara Dune, played by Gina Carano, coming in, messing up their stuff, and saving the ferret. You know, throwing off some of her, you know, physique stuff with what she did with MMA. I think so. I wasn't a MMA fan. I never watched her fight or anything like that, so I don't know what that stuff that she was doing. Obviously, we get Cara Dune back, and we got a lot of guys that like Cara Dune. I particularly care a lot for Gina Carano, and I hope she does well in her career. And she's good for Star Wars. So we got this, and then all of a sudden we got the Mando coming in. We cut, you know, to that opening theme that we all love. So we're on Navarro. The Mando's about to land here, says he's gonna need some repairs. And just kind of like, and let me just say, this is kind of like, and I was telling these guys, like really role playing type stuff. If you guys have ever played Knights of the Old Republic, I really do like the way they make their episodes. And this is kind of reminiscent of your kung fu shows from like back in the 70s and 80s. You know, this was a wanderer type guy, and he's always getting into adventures, and he's kind of like a neutral dude, but he wants to be you know, good. Obviously, he's got a mission here with the child. And he's got to get him back to the Jedi. But he's always getting himself into some, well, is this a quid pro quo kind of thing? And it's always kind of bartering with some repairs or something. So that's kind of very similar. You know, get me this or do this for me. Help me get my daughter back. Help me blow up this base. Yada yada. It can be anything. And the Mando's got to do it. And he's always agreeable to it. So obviously, I was skipping ahead a little bit. But so he lands on Navarro. He's greeted. He's getting his Razor Crest fixed by Cargo's best guys, and this place looks great. Somebody really cleaned up the joint, right? This was where Moff Gideon and they tried to attack. You know, this was the last two episodes. You know, this was the crap place. This is where all the scum and the villainy were. You know, quote unquote. So now it looks like they got a school in the place where they shot up the bar, right? So they come in there and there's like a school, there's a protocol droid, and this is where they drop off the child because they say, where we're going, we can't bring the child. You don't want to come with the child here. So of course the Grief, who is the now I guess the governor or whatever, the mayor of this place, and Kara is the marshal. They got some work for the Mando to do here, right? Obviously, kind of that quid pro quo thing that we've got scene going here for the you know, the repairs, you know, typical type of way, you know, things go in Star Wars, barter. So we see the one of the original guys. Now I like Horatio Sanz. Horatio Sanz plays this Mythos guy, Mythosol guy, and he's working for Krieg here. He's like a clerical guy, some little go-to little pissant dude that he's just having him do his busy work, right? So we got him here, this guy, and we remember him. He was the famous line that we heard at the beginning of the Mandalorian, I could bring you in warm, I could bring you in cold. probably going to go down as one of those iconic scenes for any kind of show, because that's just a good line, right? And so he sees the Mando, and he sees this, I see this thing coming out of him, right? This, like, steam or whatever. So I guess that's what it feels like when he's, afraid or whatever it is. And he steams off, and, you know, he's like, oh, man, I remember you, and crap like that. And so he's all sorts of nervous or whatever. What the heck's going to happen here? But anyway, Navarro's still got one of these bases, according to Greef, and he's got the Mando hooked on this, saying, "Hey, we need to clean the rest of this place up, and you know, if we leave this base open there, it's good for the black market, and you know, they're just going to come in here and grab all this stuff, and they're going to try and take over Navarro. We've done all this good job here, so we destroy this base, we destroy anything else left of the Empire, and we destroy any kind of weapons that." Anybody can come in here and take this place and siege it. Now, the name of the episode, obviously, is called The Siege, so wasn't sure where it was going. Usually it's the other way around, where somebody's sieging, you know, the good guys, right? But in this case, basically the whole quid pro quo is, help me blow up this base, you got your repairs, and you've done a good thing. And the Mando's like, okay, what I gotta do? It's kind of like, show me. And, you know, obviously this is where we're headed. So now we pick everybody, and it looks like our Mythosol guy's got his speeder, and he's taking everybody. And, of course, I like how Cargo's pushing this guy around, of course. It's a little catchy, of course, a little campy, but he's just, you know, trying to tell him to take years off his sentence. All right, I'll do this, and I'll take some years off your sentence. It's like, but, man, 350 years, man, that's going to take a while. So we get to this base. Doesn't look like much to me, obviously. There's nothing there. They start knocking on the door, trying to get in there. And the Mando says, wait here. And he flies up, and you see a stormtrooper fall down as they try and get into the door. And the door opens, and, of course, that's when all the action starts happening. Now, let me stop there. Now, talk about the action. We didn't get that catch-your-breath action. Now, sure, that little bit with Cara Dune at the beginning, sure, that was an action, but not exactly what I was expecting. And of course, we weren't expecting much, being we just got this huge episode with all the extra Mandos, with the three new Mandos in the previous episode with Bo-Katan. And I was figuring we're going to get a little bit of a break, right? Kind of like maybe a filler episode. Not a filler episode, obviously, with Greef and Cara Dune involved, but the action obviously didn't pick up until now. So we've got this base that we got to go through. Obviously, it looks like, you know, typical action sequence. Going up, we got to go through the base and take it down. The way to take it down, I like it, a la first movie, A New Hope, Episode 4. Obi-Wan has to take down the tractor beam in the Death Star in order for the Millennium Falcon to escape. Well, we got something similar. It looks like it's not exactly all that treacherous, and we get Greef Karga to do this with our boy Mythosol. And he's all, you know, kind of chubby himself over, shimming himself, not very elegant as Obi-Wan did it, but he goes over there and he, you know, does his little doohickey to get this thing to basically let the lava loose, where something a la, what was the planet that Vader got his, where he's, oh my gosh, it's not Mustafar, it's the, yeah, it is Mustafar, right? That's the planet where Vader's at, and that's all lava, and then all of a sudden you got this, kind of lava-looking thing over in this, whatever planet that doesn't, you know, the lava's kind of like, oh, it just happens to have some lava over here, so, on Navarro. Anywho, this thing's built on lava, and if we let this thing go, it's going to blow up the whole base. So, this is what we do. So, that part right there, looking at the length of the episode, I'm thinking, there's got to be more here. This is going to cool action sequence. Obviously, we're thinking, the way things go, the Mandos are our hero, We got our heroes helpers here. Obviously, this is going to get done. So, aside from a little bit of action with Cara Dune, she finds her tank, gets everybody out there. Mando flies off to go get the child. There's obviously something that happens here right between this that is pretty cool. We have to stop and pause. They meet some part of this base where these two scientist-looking dudes are destroying some records. Now, this is pretty intense because now we see that uniform again that we're pretty used to. It's that science uniform. And these guys are scurrying to get something destroyed. They're just like, destroy it, destroy it. So obviously, we don't get any stories. We don't get anything. We're just shooting these guys up. Obviously, they're going to get killed, and we're not going to get anything. Then they walk into this lab, and what I could tell, they were trying to clone. It looked like to me like Snoke. It looked to me like those may have been some Snoke clones. I didn't get a good look. I was probably going to go back into the episode and kind of rewind it a little bit, look at it, see if I could zoom in with my iPad. But you see these clones, and you're assuming this is what's happening. These are those. Now, obviously, that was what was going on. And then our boy Mythosol, he's hacking this thing to see what we can get out of this computer that these guys were trying to destroy. And Grease says, what did you find? And we got this video of the doctor with the guy with the glasses from the first season. And he's giving a transmission saying that the specimens failed because of the blood that they got. They didn't get enough blood from the acid. And they're saying this was 3 days old. So now they figured out that Moff Gideon is alive. Now, something about this little continuity, there's a lot of time that had to have gone through for Navarro, right, to clean up this place and make a school and everything. Now, how long did all this take between the two seasons? And what I'm wondering is just, you know, now this guy's only 3 days away and they had this vial of blood for a while. So I'm just thinking there's a little bit of a mess there, but that's just me. But back to the story. We've got a new wrinkle in the Mandalorian story. Now we're going to find out maybe the origins of Snoke, what they needed the asset for, as in the quote-unquote child. Obviously, we needed an M count. They needed something with a high M count. So obviously, they're trying to clone something that's going to be Force-sensitive or, you know, have midichlorians and reproduce them in some way to create a new Sith Lord or bring back Palpatine. Something's up here, right? So we get this part of the story. Cara Dune, Grief, blast themselves out of this place. We get a little bit of action sequence with the stormtroopers and some scout troopers on some bikes, which is kind of silly. The scout troopers. Of course, this is the folly of being an Imperial soldier. You're going down this cliff, this mountain, in a speeder bike, and you happen to crash into each other's. Come on, guys, that was dumb. Why did it? Just let them have their fun. These guys are punching bag of the Imperial. Well, these are the punching bag of Star Wars. The poor stormtroopers and scout troopers, and anything Imperial out of the original trilogy. And you had to get these guys to just fall down in some rocks. Oh, well, maybe I have a soft spot for these guys on the spear bikes and the scout troopers. But, of course, they're baby punchers too, right? So we got these guys that are getting chased. Cara Dune's got this stolen hot tank that she really liked. And they're stealing it, taking it, trying to get it back to Navarro. The base blows up in the background. We got speeder bikes following them. Grief Karga takes care of them. And we've got three pretty cool TIE fighters. Now, if you guys notice, these TIE fighters have the 181st stripes on them. They're basically the tier on the TIE fighters. So these are a la Return of the Jedi. And obviously, if you have some fans of the 181st TIE, you get to see these. So maybe that's why those particular TIEs have that fold-out wing. That's that new, you know, that new TIE that we see. No different from the ones from Return of the Jedi. Maybe that's just how they land. So 181st TIEs get tangled with Grief. He's still able to get one of them, and then all of a sudden they're almost to Navarro. They got two more TIEs to take down, and boom, here comes Razorcrest right out of nowhere, with the Mando in there. And this is kind of funny. Maybe they were just running out of time. Now the episode was about 35 minutes. You gotta be funny because some of these things have 5 minutes of credits at the end because of the different languages. Mando comes in, swoops out. That's some pretty cool, Top Gun stuff. Hit the brakes. He fires on one of the other TIE pilots, TIE fighters, and pretty cool. Just a great, nice action sequence. So nice to see the Razor Crest back to its fighting form, looking brand new. That was obviously a very fast repair too. So some of these Star Wars continuity things, oh well. So now he gets on the radio. Obviously this whole thing is done. Razor Crest is done, getting repaired. Mando's got a, hey man, listen, love to chat, love to get a drink, but I gotta go. I gotta get this kid to the Jedi. And so Greef is grateful. Cara Dune. Now we get our boy. He's back investigating. This is our 501st-er, Mr. Carson Tava, all right? And he's our 501st-er. I love this guy. He's got a Star Wars feel. I do like him. He's got a very good authoritative feel. He's one of the captains, and he comes in asking some questions like a cop to Greef. Hey, did you the Razor Crest, and what about the base, and blah blah blah. He's telling, basically kind of still in his whole scoundrel type mode. He's like, what I, I didn't mention the Razor Crest or anything. What are you talking about? Those droids don't know nothing. But of course, we know that, obviously he's just trying to cover the tracks. But this nice little interaction between Carson and Cara Dune. Cara Dune gets this little medal here after he asks her about, her service. And, obviously she served in the rebellion as a shock trooper. And she was part of the Alderaan. She said he served in Alderaan, so she lost everybody. So he gets this medal, puts it down. Not sure what this medal is. If anybody in the Star Wars, forums can tell me, or anybody of the fans, what is this medal? Is this some sort of medal of honor that she should have gotten, or is this some sort of medal of valor? He just puts this thing down like it was. Here's my trading coin, kind of like the 501st, like we're trading coins. And he just puts it down, and we don't know anything other than, she's beating her little ferret. She's kind of looking down on her, a little bit, and just maybe just remembering some of the bad crap that happened to her. But that's where we cut. End scene. We get to this, we cut scene to this whatever Imperial starship of whatever happening here. It's not, definitely not a Star Destroyer, but could be some sort of science vessel, could be some sort of whatever new vessel. But we got this Lady Imperial officer that's receiving a transmission from one of those repair guys on Navarro, saying that yes, they planted this device on the Razor Crest, and that they are trying to find the asset, the child, and the Mandalorian. Lady reports back to Moff Gideon. We get Moff Gideon here, and he is in a room full of the scientists that we saw in that lab on the base on Navarro, and they're surrounded by what looks like to me some sort of Terminator-looking black armored stormtrooper. We didn't get a good look at this, and this is where we cut end episode. My speculation is it's some sort of super trooper. This is some good shit, in my opinion. This is what this I'm gonna confess that for a while, this was just going one way. Where is this headed with the Mandalorian? There's only one thing that can happen. In the next whatever remainder of this season to the next season, season three. Remember, we don't have to do 5, 10 seasons of the Mandalorian. Disney doesn't work that way. Star Wars doesn't work that way. You get 3 or 4 seasons, but what's going to happen with the child? They're just going to get the child to, the Jedi, and that's it? No, there's got to be extra stuff. So therein lies what happens. I like this where what is this new clone look at? What is this? You know, there's like 12, 24, something like clones or whatever these soldiers that Moff Gideon's looking at here. He's all like happy about it. What are these things? I'm forgetting about Ahsoka Tano right now. So, you know, what are these things in this room? Anyway, we've got the new episode. Here's my review, Alejandro Sparrow Fett. You've got it, 4 a.m., 5 a.m. in the morning. So, by the way, these are spoilers, obviously. If you started listening to me for this review, that was not a good idea if you haven't seen this episode yet. We'll see you guys next week. And listen to us Sunday, Monday night. We should have the new episode of the vodcast with my boys, Jacepticeye and Buddha Fett. Look out for that. Have a great weekend.